You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
All right, here we go, everyone. Let's build that energy. Reverend James, hit the music.
Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, exploring the magical world around us, only on the LMC Radio Network. There are so many fantastic, exciting, and curious things that make up this world we share. Come join us as we explore the spiritual, magical, and wondrous phenomena that enrich our souls and bring color to our days. I am your announcer, Reverend James of FolkConjure.com, located in Western North Carolina. This week, we welcome the insightful Troll Towelhead of SatanService.org in California to the show for the discussion on Satanism in theory and practice. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our host, Reverend Art of FolkConjure.com in North Carolina, and our guest, Troll Towelhead. Make sure you're logged into Blog Talk Radio and join in the discussion via the chat. Now, let's catch up with our host. Reverend Art, take it away.
Thank you, Reverend James, and welcome everyone to the Monday Night Phenomenon that is Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places. And as always, if we're on the air, you know it's Monday. And what does that mean? Magic Mondays on the Facebook page for Hoodoo Psychics. Take a few moments, jump on over to the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page, drop a comment on the Magic Mondays post, and enter to win your chance at a free 15-minute reading with the Hoodoo Psychic of your choice. Tons of great readers out there ready to offer insights and amazement. So, Magic Mondays on Facebook, Hoodoo Psychics. Don't miss out. All right. So, here we are yet again. Wonderful weekend just passed, a little rainy, managed to get a lot of things done. Before I jump too far, back over to you, Reverend James. What's new?
I guess a few things. Working on a few different websites for a few colleagues and things, tidying up a few things. Also working on a few formulations for bath salts and conjure oils with you, Reverend Art. And also designing the packaging and things, so lots of Photoshop. But other than that, enjoying the weather a little bit. I'm a person that kind of likes rainy weather, so I'm really excited about this week because it's supposed to be raining all week. But I think that's good because, you know, here where we live, there's a big lake, and usually because of the TVA, the Tennessee Valley Authority, and the dam, they like to move the water down south towards even further south, down toward Florida. And so anytime we get rain, I'm really appreciative of it because it makes the lake look really nice instead of looking really nasty and brown and icky. That's pretty much what's been up with me.
Yeah, that's definitely a big plus. The rain bringing the life to the lake. You know, in our area, we live in a region where the Tennessee Valley Authority actually generated, what is it, five man-made lakes in just all around the region. A lot of great opportunities for, you know, recreation and such. And it always is so disappointing at the end of the summer because they drain the lakes and it looks absolutely horrid because you can see practically to the bottom of every one of the lakes, the rivers and tributaries that connect them. Just it's so sad. But you know, like Reverend James said, spent this weekend, actually we've been spending a lot of time recently. The Conjure Kitchen looks a little bit like a mad scientist lab right now, with whipping together formulations for, we have herbal blends coming, bath salts / wash crystals coming, several new spell workings that we are putting together for weekly promotion, and just so many things. Reverend James, thankfully, is doing the Photoshop because, as I learned this morning, Photoshopping for me isn't always the most effective use of my talents. Do apologize for those that saw my little snafu of one face, different name. Probably confused everybody involved, but we did get caught and taken care of. Can't wait really to be able to share all the new items with everybody, and we will be doing that hopefully here in the very near future. Good stuff. Folk Conjure and Folk Faith Ministries are growing again, and looking forward to a bright and helpful future. Outside of that, been loving our vegetable gardens, our plants, herbs, everything, have been loving all of this rain. It's just been almost incessant in recent weeks, but you know, a lot of great stuff. We try to wildcraft as many of the herbs that we can. We try what we can't wildcraft or don't wildcraft, we try to grow. So you know, most of the items that we try to put out there, you know, we know it right from its, what's the word I want to use here, birth, quote unquote, until it arrives in your mailbox. So really excited for our show tonight. One of our most avid supporters is joining us on this side of the table. So thrilled to welcome him to the show and introduce him to all of y'all. Some of you may know him. Some of you are going to get to know him tonight. But Troll Towelhead, how are things going with you? Welcome to Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be on the air with you.
Yeah, I know we'd have a couple false starts due to Blog Talk Radio gremlins over the past couple months, but we're finally here. And, you know, really, I'm really intrigued to explore this this topic with you tonight. You know, most, I would have to say many individuals have a seemingly hyperbolized sense of the path that is Satanism. You know, you see, you're used to seeing what Hollywood portrays things as in a way that can maybe not so much provide a an accurate portrayal. So I'm really looking forward to kind of cutting through some of that. But
oh, I think that Hollywood is a really good presentation because it emphasizes things and very helpfully exaggerates the propaganda that goes into constructing Satanism at its ground level and makes it absurd for all to see.
That's a very good point, you know. But before we jump too far into the topic, I want to make sure that we save enough time to really kind of dive in. But why don't we take a moment and share with the listeners and the folks in the chat a little bit more about Troll Tellhead, you know, a little bit about your background. What put you on the path with Satanism and, you know, any other information you'd like to share with us?
I've been an avid esotericist, occultist, and spiritual adventurer for all of my adult life. And I didn't pay much attention to Satanism or anything related to devilry or demonology or anything of that kind, except to try to understand it a little bit. I became more involved socially with witchcraft religion and neo-paganism, and this was a catalyst during the 1980s for my encounter with the periphery of Satanism, because what happened was that a rumor panic began in which people began accusing each other of being Satanists, and it was called the Satanic Panic during the 1980s and 90s. And I witnessed it firsthand and was quite alarmed about it. I had already engaged in my own spiritual path, but I hadn't consistently been religious. And I discerned between those two things, that is, spirituality and religion, began to really seriously become religious at that time and became a Satanist. I converted to Satanism in the 1990s. In 1996, I made a pact with Satan, as I understand it, a blood pact. And my intention was to truly re-embed a pact with the devil on a Faustian level that was positive and life-affirming and took the propaganda that was being put forward by Christian culture, turn it on its head, and seriously combat it. And so that's out of compassion for the people I saw being accused. There were people who were tried, even put into prison over it.
Oh, wow.
It became a very serious event. And I discovered that in researching that kind of thing, that this was not unique and that it wasn't completely unusual, either for rumor panics or for accusations of these types, whether it be witchcraft or heinous sacrifices or Satanism. And I began to try to understand it and got very familiar with it at that time.
Now, Ms. Cat did share a little bit of additional in there, but, you know, people falsely accused of sacrificing babies in their backyards, no evidence or even any missing babies. You know, it's interesting how these events unfold, you know, these panics. You know, I'm not, although, I was here during the 80s and 90s. I'm not especially familiar with this, and definitely going to be something for me to look up even further. Not sure if was it a regionality? Was there a regionality with this?
It became widespread and part of popular culture, and it became so overt that intelligence agencies began to be involved. The FBI did investigations. It was also across the sea. There were other people in Europe and in the Americas who were quite serious about investigating the actual reality behind the accusations. And becoming familiar with them is part of what led me to become and persist in being a Satanist, because there, like Ms. Cat said, there's no reality to that. There may be anomalies, like there might be with someone saying that Christianity is heinous or something. You'll find wacky Christians who do terrible things, Jim Jones and all kinds of people. And you'll find people who are associated or associate themselves with Satanism that do something so similar, like Richard Ramirez, or, you know, other people who are on the edge of morality and flirt with what they've been told is wrong. So that's a window into what that particular rumor panic was, but you should realize that this is directly connected to the witch craze, the great European witch craze, and that that involved hundreds, thousands of deaths. This was much worse in the past, and it connects also with the blood libel accusations against Jews. And some of them we're seeing crop up again today in our world. So there are other types of rumor panics, like red scares, in which people accuse others of being communists, like the McCarthyism incident in the 1960s. And even today, there are people who are in rural and terribly benighted areas burned as witches. So you can find it ongoing. It's not stopping. And in part, the reason why is because there are Christian propagandists who are promoting this notion, subversion ideologies of terrible, evil people among us who we must combat and destroy.
Yeah, there's definitely something to be said about, you know, that whole concept of those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, and it does feel very cyclical when we do experience these events, and really no religion is truly safe from this. No spiritual path is safe from this. No people. No specific, you know, certain peoples are safe from this kind of propagandizing to create these panics. You know, we talk about national media and such, you know, the quote unquote news that is quote unquote, again, air quotes, unbiased, which is, you know, one of the more ridiculous things that I think I hear people say is, oh, I watch this channel because it's unbiased. Well, All right. Here's your foil hat.
You can influence media very strongly, and during times where this crops up, it becomes inundated with mischaracterizations and with such accusations. And what really preceded the satanic panic was something called the anti-cultism movement, in which the word cult was taken to mean something horrid about religion, which you can find there in many different religions, and it was stigmatizing against new religions and against those which were unfamiliar to people. And some of them definitely had those characteristics with megalomaniac leaders and people controlling their sex lives and their food and their sleep and whatnot. There's something to be said about warning against those kinds of things. But the anti-cultism movement was a precursor to the anti-Satanism movement, and people connected the two. I began to look into this and discovered that there were actual people who were engaged in Satanism as they understood it as a religion. And the Church of Satan in the 1960s was created in part in response to these types of accusations and campaigns. In part, it was also to get attention, but since then, it's enlarged to a magnified social movement. And my understanding of it is that this is intended to diffuse, to interrupt, and to combat that type of propaganda and that specific set of symbols associated with Satanism and terrible baby sacrifice, etc.
You know, I do remember growing up in the 70s and 80s, I do remember, you know, the word cult was, it was presented in such a way, you know, like capital C, it was just this horrid thing that, you know, everybody, you have to watch out for the cults. There's cults everywhere. There's cults in the woods. There's cults under the bridge. There's cults in this tunnel. There's cults in the caves. There's cults everywhere. Look out for the cults.
Sure.
And I remember being petrified as a child that, you know, these supposed cults are, you know, that literally there's, you know, people lurking behind a tree that's just ready to induct you or abduct you for whatever
Absolutely.
Reason. You know,
that's exactly
and,
right.
And it blows my mind that here we are in, it's a new century, you know, where supposedly, you know, we've quote unquote learned from our mistakes, and this kind of aggrandized lunacy is still ongoing. But you know what?
Oh yes, you can expect that. The propaganda continues. And every once in a while, you have more generations who aren't very good at communicating what took place in the past. And so they either forget or they stop believing what's reliable. And it'll crop up over and over again, which is part of the reason why I'm still a Satanist and will continue to be.
You know, this is already a fascinating discussion, and I want to make sure that we have more than enough time to really dive into this topic. I think this is going to be a great time to take a pause for a message from our sponsors, and we'll turn this back over to Reverend James.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman, Sundays, 3 to 4:30, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places with Reverend Art and Reverend James, Mondays, 4 to 5:30, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Miss Phoenix LeFay, in syndication, Tuesdays, The Now You Know Show with Professor Porterfield, in syndication, Wednesdays,
and The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Deborah Voith, Thursdays 4 to 5. All times specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
Now for some quick announcements about those upcoming shows on the LMC Radio Network. Tuesday, June 4th on the Crystal Silence League and Syndication will be the topic of More Tools of Necromancy. And Tuesday, June 4th on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron in Syndication with Miss Elvira and Phoenix LeFay will be the topic of Protection Magic. And Wednesday, June 5th on the Now You Know Show in Syndication with Professor Porterfield will be the topic of The Bible and an Egg and Mustard Seed. And Thursday, June 6th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, on The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Miss Elvira and Dead Voice will be the topic of Aether, the Primordial God of Brightness and the Upper Sky. And next Sunday, June 9th at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour will be William Rader and the topic of Art of Artisan Tarot. Support for this program is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com. And by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org. And by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and back to you, Reverend Hart.
Thank you, Reverend James. You know, when we were considering the discussion for tonight, you know, this is a topic that, you know, as we started Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places as an exploration of all paths, all religions, all forms of magic, you know, really to build bridges and, you know, help deepen the understanding of a lot of these aspects of everyday life. And I'm really thrilled to be able to share this with everyone. So why don't I turn this back over to you, Troll Talhead, and lead us through a discussion on Satanism in theory and practice.
Okay. Well, I really associate the theory of Satanism with the reaction to an overarching and impinging religious background. I don't happen to have that. I'm unusual. Most people I know who've become part of Satanism are railing against Christian or Muslim backgrounds in which they've been told terrible things are happening and things you should be afraid of are lying in wait for you. And what's occurred, as I understand it, is that since the 1940s, really, since the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, when religious witchcraft developed, and then in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s, when religious Satanism developed, people were taking the fear-mongering stories that they were hearing and dressing themselves up in it, presenting themselves in a self-ID kind of sociopolitics, if you like, that were associated with those terrible people, but often in support of themselves. Whether that was engaging in indulgent activities, which early Satanists liked to portray as some of their most important activities, or what they called black masses, and they made rituals based primarily on ceremonial magic and its tradition, which is fairly long and mostly literary, and created what they thought would be involved in that. And sometimes those included naked women on altars, like in some of the Levian rites that they promoted. But later, as time wore on, you can find practices that include the actual engagement of demons and Satan, and coming to know Satan is, I would suggest, the primary practical thing to start with, whether that's by reading, which many people do in connection with exploring gods. They read mythology, for example. That's what we were told to call it when I was in school. But I no longer believe that mythology is a sufficient character for these remnants of religion or God stories or what have you. To me, it seems that reading about different spirits and gods and whatnot gives you a gateway, kind of like a gateway drug, but in a positive way, a gateway to connect with entities that may be beyond your culture, beyond your knowledge, and beyond your dimension. And so reading about demons, reading about Satan and Satan's stories, especially from those who are interested and supportive of Satan rather than Satan's enemies, because you can hear tons and tons of really terrible tales about Satan, if you want to, from Christians and Muslims and anti-demonists. So I suggest reading the meager things that have been put forward by those who are in support of them, demonologists or people like me. I'll express all kinds of things about demons. Become familiar and then find ways to connect with them, whether that's symbolic, like I did in a pact of alliance, and tending to support and defend them adequately against those who were terrible to them, because I think of them as wild spirits when you're talking about demons. Okay. And that's one way of going about initiating a practice, is connecting with demons of some kind, and in terms of Satanism, connecting with Satan. Become familiar with Satan. Read books about Satan, like those written by Jeffrey Burton Russell, for example, who tracks the personifications of evil through time. Get a sense of what Satan's been associated with, like wild nature, diseases, storms, things of that kind which we don't control and we are afraid of because it might hurt us. And start from there, and that's how I would suggest beginning a satanic practice.
You know, that's very interesting. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it really does feel that a lot of the persecution comes from that lack of understanding. Reverend James and I are very avid readers and research things, in a lot of cases exhaustively. And I will admit that it has not been necessarily an immediate on the radar to dive that far into Satanism as yet. Reverend James and I, we've mentioned it before, we're avid thrift shoppers, love our thrift stores, love our antique stores, and just came across a book not too long ago that I had to pick up. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea by Tim Cohen.
Nope, and, not familiar.
You know, it's, I'm really looking forward to diving into this book and really kind of seeing what it adds to the conversation. And go ahead.
There are books that do a sociology on modern notions of Satanism that aren't derived from those who are antagonistic to it. There are current Satanists who will promote an antiquated pedigree for Satanism extending back centuries. So you can read all the output you want about the subject matter from a variety of different perspectives. Some books by Jesper A. Peterson, for example, are excellent in an expose of modern Satanism, and James R. Matthews is another excellent source on it. He has like an encyclopedia of Satanism, and you can read about the basics of what the sociology of Satanism includes, and of course you can also read things by Christians, which are exposing what Satanism really is, telling about how there is no real anti-God in the Old Testament of Christians, that it was invented, and that the notion of Lucifer was also constructed, also by Christians, in order to scare people. And Christians have mapped this. That's part of what I was doing reading on, was reading about what Christians say about how all of that is some kind of a fable-making scaremongering. So those things are backdrop to what I was suggesting otherwise, which would be to look at what Satanists say themselves about what Satanism is. And the theory of that therefore includes something I'd like to get into as a principle. And that principle was promoted by a man named Olaf Hammer, who edited a book that I really loved called Alternate Christs, because I'm a big fan of Jesus stories, and even wrote one. And he in that book, and especially in another one about epistemology of religion, described something he called re-embedment. And this is a really important principle for the practice and for the ideas about what Satanism and religious witchcraft really include, where you take something that is castigated, that is terrible in its appearance and whatnot, you extract it from where it was, and then you run with it with a new backdrop and a new description. And so you'll find Satanists, for example, someone asked this about this in the chat, about whether or not it was there are sects in Satanism, and you will find Satanists for whom Satan is the God who created everything, kind of swapping in Satan for Jehovah. And they don't necessarily say, read your Bible or something, but what they describe is an interesting re-embedment. That is, it takes the Satan character as portrayed and reinvents it. And that principle of re-embedment is operative through much of religious witchcraft and religious Satanism. You can see it in the terminology, like where you see sabbats by witches, for example, and you can find the black mass, as I described before, employed by Satanists. Another example of satanic practice that is included as part of re-embedment was the manipulation of that exact phrase, black mass. Now, the history of black masses is interesting. They were an actual rite performed by renegade priests in the Roman Catholic Church in order to desecrate and corrupt the rite towards doing sorcery. So if you read into that, there are excellent books about it. You can find out that it is a sorcerous Catholicism, if you like, a Roman Catholicism of sorcery. Satanists took that kind of partial notion and ran with it and said, oh no, what's really happening there is that people are deprogramming themselves. So you can see that this was developing during a time in the 60s, 70s, and 80s when the notion of psychologizing religion was becoming popular. And the right. idea was that you would construct a ritual that was blasphemous and for you even disturbing. And the notion is that you would disconnect yourself from that parent religion in which you were brought up and which you felt was enslaving you. And so a black mass was something to do in order to break away from your original religion. And once you had made that break and moved on to something else, then you no longer needed black masses, and that's exactly what the early Satanists described as far as the use of black masses.
You know, we have some questions for you popping up here in the chat tonight. Some direct, some topical, but have you ever been to the Black House in San Francisco, and have you ever met Anton LaVey?
I have not. I learned of him before he died, and I've had interaction with a number of people in his church, but I never found it important to connect with him, in part because I didn't really appreciate the Satanic Bible that much. And by the time I got involved with it in any seriousness, I was, he was either dying or dead, and I was not that interested in interviewing those people. They were primarily atheistic and antagonistic to those who are involved with occultism. That is, their trajectory of their Satanism was very critical and still remains critical of people who have an investment in occult techniques and ideas. And I've been involved with that since, like I said, since I was a young adult, and I was born in 1961. So I'm old enough to know, well, that's not a conducive environment for me. I have seen where the Black House used to be, and I've read about it and read books about the early church, an excellent book on the history of that time period and on the early Church of Satan is by Michael Aquino, who used to be in the Church of Satan also until 1975, and then broke from that organization and established with his wife and his confederates a temple of Set, and they went on to do their thing. They're a type of Setian Satanism, if you like. I've interacted with many different kinds of Satanists, and most of them have been at a remove, but some of them I visited directly and tried to understand what they were about.
You know, this next question is actually something that I personally would really like to know as well. How widely recognized by the government is Satanism as an official religion?
That's funny. Well, that's one of the first aims of early Satanists. In fact, Michael Aquino was part of the armed services, and they established a chaplaincy really early on and a visitation to prisons and try to make themselves legitimate. There's been a lot of effort to make this into an accepted religion, and it's been pretty successful. I mean, part of the religious activities involved was creating what they called the Satanic Bible and the Church of Satan. This was convincing. It was convincing to Christians, and it was convincing to the surrounding culture in which it was created. And governments recognized Satanists and Setians for legitimate religions because they were often intelligent and they portrayed themselves in convincing ways.
Excellent. A question that I personally have and would love to get your take on, you know, in my studies of occults and, you know, various metaphysical practices and such, one name does tend to show up fairly regularly and come, you know, that I'm not 100% sold on how it's even equated, but Aleister Crowley in the OTO.
Mm-hmm.
How did this get all tied together?
I can explain that pretty well. I'm a member of the OTO and a member of good standing. I was initiated in it in the 1990s, in part to try to understand what magic was to as many different people as I could. And so I've read a number of his books, and I've talked with many, many people who are of Thelema, some of them to self-describe as Thelemites. And the thing that you could understand is that there are some people who are proto-Satanists. That is, they precede Satanism, but they have many of the characteristics that you might find in Satanism today. And Aleister Crowley wrote a number of things that were obviously intending for him to be connected with Satan and with Satanism if it were to have existed, which it did not. He was born in 1875 and died in 1947. His writings include invocations of Satan, and they include an identification of what he called his holy guardian angel as Lucifer. So he did, and he self-described as the Beast, 666, and as Baphomet, which was largely associated with satanic practices because of the Leo Taxil hoax and other things. So he made a lot of effort to connect himself with satanic character. And a number of people who are part of the Lema will tell you, oh, no, 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 Aleister Crowley was not a Satanist. We are not Satanists. And it's very similar if you were to encounter Wiccans in the 1970s, 80s, and even till today, who if you ask them, are they Satanists? They'll say, oh, no, 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 we're not Satanists. And in fact, anything that has Satan in it is Christian. And there, many of them have come from Christian backgrounds. If you interview them, which I have, I've taken surveys, done all kinds of things of that kind, because I love sociology, even though I'm an amateur at it, they will tell you that they are not part of it because, in part, they were scared off of it. And if you examine it closely, you can make categories like proto-Satanist and see the argumentation that, yeah, Aleister Crowley was definitely trying to head that direction. In fact, they have, the OTO has a central rite that they call the Gnostic Mass. Okay, and Gnosticism itself is connected with Satanism and with transgressive religion, both by Christians and by other people. And this Gnostic Mass, while it was designed on a particular variant of some liberal Catholic ritual, is easily understood as a black mass. And that itself could mean a number of different things, and that would be a satanic ritual of a variety of perspectives. And if you talk to the OTO, they will not like that description necessarily, but they're not trying to control people's minds generally, so it wouldn't matter.
Interesting. Like I found so many like kind of inconsistent obfuscations in trying to compare, you know, Satanism as a religion, as a movement, what have you, to the OTO. And I appreciate you taking the time to kind of dive into that and illuminate us a bit. You know.
Sure, I thought of it as satanic when I joined it. I mean, it was to me an element of that organization, although it was lapsing at the time, that it was conducive to the emboldening of the will, which is an important element in the ideology and philosophy of Thelema, which I very strongly like, outside even of the writings of Aleister Crowley. And its ordeals in the initiations that they had were intended, obviously, to be stimuli for that purpose. And to me, that's an element of what Satanism includes, is an embrace of personal power and an acceptance of egoic strength.
This is so interesting. You know, hearing more about the history and the interactions and the evolution, it's absolutely fascinating to me. Not just from a spiritual perspective, but, you know, to have that the psychosocial background behind it, and it feels very, very overwhelming to really kind of dive into a full exploration and a full understanding, but definitely definitely something that, you know, hopefully we are able to dispel some rumors and dispel some of that panic-inducing malarkey that the mass media likes to put out there. Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Well, it's dispersed. Since it's a reactionary thing, you ought to compare it, as the early Satanists kind of embraced, with atheism. That is, there's a history of accusation about atheism, and the development of atheism is comparable to the development of religious witchcraft and religious Satanism, in that it starts as an epithet, as an accusation. There are so many things that are part of the occult and in transgressive religion that are reactionary like that, that they are easily decentralized because there's just all different kinds of people reacting to the things that they're hearing. An example of that would be magic. Magic itself, the term originates from the Persian magi. That is, the people were Greeks, I believe, condemning magic because it was the operation of Persian priests. And that is an example of this kind of diversification of what comes up underneath the term after it's been condemned. The Church of Satan, the phrase, the Church of Satan, originated quite a long time ago, and so did the phrase, the term Satanism and witchcraft. All of these things are very old. They're not actually new, except they are mostly old as accusations. And it's really only during the 20th century, 1940s and after that, that these kinds of things become more and more accepted because people are putting them on as costumes, if you like, or practices.
Because it really is, you know, just kind of a fascinating path through time that you've presented for us so far tonight. You know, the questions are still coming, they're still flowing through the chat, and, you know, they're kind of leading right into the second half of our topic for tonight, and that being Satanism in practice. So thank you to everyone in the chat for that wonderful segue, and we will get to questions here momentarily. But so let's talk a little bit about in practice.
Well, I think that what it really includes is studying what is accusatory. And so one of the questions in the chat was a helpful one, in the sense that people describe Satanism in a variety of different categories. And some of that is atheistic and some of that is theistic. And this distinction is made important among those who study it and those who practice it. And theistic Satanism, as described by Diane Vera and a number of other people who have been proponents of it in the late 90s and up through today, is not all that different from neo-pagan descriptions of what they're doing in the quote-unquote reviving of worship of their gods. That is, they're reading books, often anthropology or archaeology or something of that kind, and then inventing new rituals to praise what it is that they're worshiping. And a theistic Satanist is typically one who engages Satan in some way, say, as a listener to one's prayers. You can construct prayers to Satan, as many other religious people do. Make a prayer that praises your Satan god and make a temple or an altar or things of that kind, very obvious, basic religious activities that are part of theistic Satanism, as they would be for any theistic enterprise. And that's why I said study first, get some sort of idea, and then start making stuff up. That is, figure out what it is that's meaningful to you, and don't necessarily focus on what it is that people tell you should be correct. Because so many of the people out there are talking about things that are antagonistic to them, that these demons are in hierarchies that are controlled by our God, for example, or that demons only do negative, nasty things. Well, my experience of demons is not that. They can be wild at times, but I can see that gods and their histories aren't always that different. You can get some gods laying waste, even as described, to entirety of human species, or almost thereof. There's a lot of things that you can find in stories. And so worship is one avenue in a theistic sense, and that's where I would start with it. Theistic Satanism is familiar to people because they come from, typically, a theistic background. That is, they come from a Christian background where they're worshiping Jesus, or neo-pagan background where they're worshiping Kernonos or Diana or something, which I've done, and I find it wonderful. Worship, I think, is a wonderful thing. I've spent a lot of time worshiping with many people, including Muslims and Jews and Christians and neo-pagans and Buddhists, and it's all very fun, I think.
Excellent, excellent. You know, one of the questions, and I'm sure many have kind of wondered this in some way, shape, or form, is what are there initiations that are intrinsic to, you know, becoming a Satanist or to practicing Satanism?
Oh, that's a great question. There's really two different ways to answer that question. One of them is conventionally and in organizations, churches, temples, what have you. People have absolutely, especially if they followed on ceremonial magic tradition and Freemasonry and the OTO and all kinds of the Golden Dawn, et cetera, et cetera, they've created initiations to set themselves into stratified systems, hierarchies, whatever it might have been that they were doing. Some of them are more anarchic than others. So you can become involved in satanic organizations, and you can find that some of them definitely have initiation rites, and some of them are educational, like with the Golden Dawn. Some of them are ordeal-oriented, as with the OTO and some other comparable organizations. That is, they set a hurdle before you, or they give you something like a puzzle or a conundrum or some type of thing that will challenge you to achieve the end of the ritual or more. And so you can find those stratifications both of responsibility, initiation into the social environment of any particular satanic organization, including the Church of Satan, including the Satanic Temple, and including a number of others, as they develop and as they grow and become more numerous in their adherence, you'll definitely be able to find that kind of thing. Initially, it's a card-carrying membership. That is, part of that was a demonization of a card-carrying Satanist. But that became a reality. They did that on purpose. They re-embedded it, made cards that said, "You are a member of the Church of Satan," and it was red and black and had all this gothic stuff on it. But that developed through time, though. As more and more people become involved and represent the organization and be part of what they're doing, whether that's rituals, celebrations, whatever they might be doing, even social ceremonies like weddings and whatnot, then you will have people given responsibility, and as they're given responsibility, they're provided initiations into the responsibility to be a reliable person who can serve in that function. The second way of thinking about initiation, really, is that it relates to life and life experiences, and that you, as you have maturing experiences that are traumatic, that are enlightening, that are in some way deepening of spirit and your maturation of your spiritual path. So those are initiations into whatever it is that you're doing. If it's a theistic path of Satanism, then engagements of that God. If it's something else, like a philosophy, Satanism as a philosophy, which is a real thing, just like philema as a philosophy, then getting closer to what the principles, beliefs, and truths are of your religion and what you're involved with, that is an initiatic path all its own that has manifestations in your personal life. And you can find an understanding of those if you're reflective enough and get a sense of symbolism and what those things include.
So predominantly then, as far as initiations go, it more or less you would be looking it's more determinate by the sect as far as what an initiation practice would look like. But you don't necessarily have to be an initiate, kind of like in, you know, some diasporic religions that have been explored, you know, at length, things like Palo and such, where you have to be an initiate before being able to practice. That's not the case here. Am I correct?
It's a particular perspective that is debated in all of these social zones. That is, you will find people who tell you that those who promote this initiatic line of authority are simply presenting their own interests. Okay, so it is true that if you're wanting to get involved with something that's probably more safe and wanting to get involved with something that's more long-standing and probably has more grit and substance to it, it's probably better to, at least initially, engage with some organization. And that may involve an initiation of sorts, but I would recommend being cautious about that because all of this is so new. And people for example, in the OTO, people in a novel religious segments of the society are prone to abuse those things that they've just come upon in their power, social influence.
I'm just fascinated so far with this entire discussion. So I'm just going to jump back into the chat here real quick and pull out a few more quick questions. As an aside, do you believe that just evoking the name of Jesus will send Satan or the devil running?
Well, we can get into that. I think that's an important element of my practice and my ideology of Satanism that I call demonic Satanism. I believe as little as possible. So what that means to me is that belief is a mechanism to control people's minds. And so we have creeds and we have cementations of idea. These things are intended to control people. And my observation is perhaps different than my beliefs about it. I find that the stories about and the activities surrounding Jesus Christ as a God, are absolutely supportive of him manipulating, defending, and controlling wayward spirits and those who might be intending to harm you. He is obviously, as Morton Smith and others have put forward, a magician. And as a god, he is someone to appeal to do the magic for you, especially if you want to remain humble. So that immediately launches off and outside of Satanism as I understand it, but I connect the two. It's important to me that is an element of Satanism, as it's practiced by advanced students. And that is primarily to find value in Jesus and to engage a path of martyrdom.
Interesting, interesting. And one more quick question from the chat. You know, are there priests in Satanism? And are you a priest in Satanism?
I like that question a lot. I suggest, and it's something that I've paid a lot of attention to, I suggest that priests are those who are devoted to a particular spiritual intelligence, whether that's a god or whether that's a demon or whatnot, and make that service available to others. That is, a priest does this not for themselves only, but for others as well. So there are absolutely priests of Satan, totally. They're not uncommon. In the early church of Satanism, this is in part how they differentiated their levels of membership, is that people could be priests and people could do things that priests do in a conventional religion. And you'll find that in especially theistic Satanist contexts, where you have Satan as a god, and you have someone who is paying tribute to, worshiping Satan, and then somebody else wants to engage that entity and goes to that person as a priest or priestess and help them to connect with them. I am not a priest of Satan. And the reason, in part, is because, for me, Satan is a demon. I am connected with Satan by alliance, by a blood pact, like you would have with a blood brother, someone you find noble and valuable to connect with, and you have a mutual relationship with, as long as you two want that to take place. And so when someone comes to me in that capacity and asks me to be a priest for them, I have to inform them that's not really my role. I can probably help you to have a better chance of getting in touch with Satan, but I'm not going to do it for you, and I don't recommend it unless you have something to offer.
It's fascinating. It truly is. You know,
you could swap out Satan for anything you want. I mean, are you a priest of Pazuzu, or are you a priest of Diana? I mean, it doesn't really matter if it's an activity that's being asked about, and the notion of going into that activity, either for oneself or for others, is an imperative element of it. While I have a demon altar, which makes a safe place for demons and things of that kind, my devotional worship is to a particular goddess, to Kali. And I've devoted my life to her, and she's encouraged me in my Satanism. So I'm also not a priest of Kali. And so that's an important part. I am theistic, but I don't regard Satan as a god. And that makes me really weird in connection with the usual Satanist milieu.
You know, that actually kind of leads into a question that was just asked quite nicely. Is it difficult to find a fellowship of practicing Satanists?
I think it depends on what kind of a Satanist you are. If you want to fit in with a particular type and find them nearby you, then it probably would be pretty easy. It depends on where they're located. It used to be easy for me to connect with Church of Satan members and with Temple of Set members because they were primarily based in the San Francisco Bay Area where I live. I know of those who were involved with the Satanic Temple, and their involvement with people is often is at a remove. So they're connecting with people and doing activities via Zoom, for example. And that's, you know, part of that's pandemic-oriented, but it's also because Satanism is dispersed. There are lots and lots of different people in different environments who find books and then read them and think, that is really cool. Wow, I wonder if we could do that. I have some of those things. I listen to the right music. I wear the right clothing. I love these things. And why don't I become a Satanist? How do I do that? And they look online. They find somebody describing how to do it one way or another. And they may find a local group meetup. And they may find some sort of commonalities with people who are there. A lot of Satanism is composed of people with very strong personalities. Not all of them. The ones who are followers and part of churches tend to be a spectrum of that. But the people who are leaders and the people who are innovators and who are making stuff happen, they're often very abrasive people. So I've encountered a number of them, and I can say, be careful about what you're engaging in the social landscape of Satanism. It's a good idea to vet people via the internet. Find out what they're about, how long they've been around, and what they're doing, because they may just take it upon themselves to try to dupe you and exploit you.
You know, one question that does come to mind in the evolution of this discussion tonight, you know, for those in various, you know, magical paths, and whether that be, you know, the pagan followers or pagan practitioners, root workers, conjure doctors, what have you, you know, a lot of times there are petitions made to, you know, various deities, various spiritual entities, and, you know, it's been something that I've seen discussed in some very confusing ways in social media posts, in various groups, about, you know, how petitioners actually can, you know, incorporate and work with, you know, Satan as an entity, as a deity.
Oh, yeah.
What light can we shed on these sorts of, I mean, some of the things that I've seen have just been so fantastical, and I'm like, where did this even come from?
Sure. Yeah, well, I think if you look into the origins of most religions, you will find a maelstrom of ideologies that are competing, and images and imagery about the particular gods in question. You can see them in some longstanding cultures like Indian culture, where they have, they call it Hinduism. It's a variety of people within a certain area extending out to the wider world that are associated by being from that area, and they're, while they may be called a religion, there's a vast differentiation of what stories are told about what gods. And so if you have to have a reconciliation, some sort of single coherent narrative surrounding this, I suggest that you invent it yourself and don't worry too much about whether or not anyone else thinks that you're right. That's part of why I did what I did in the construction of the Gospel of Satan, because I wanted a coherent narrative that I thought had as much grounding and as much basis and foundation as any of these other religious scriptures. So start with yourself. See what makes sense to you. And I wouldn't suggest believing it. Like I said, I believe as little as possible. Find out what you find palatable, what you find valuable to entertain. Think of stories that entertain you and thrill you, and then tell them, either in ritual or online, or make up your own scripture, whatever it is that you find helpful.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, so we are coming up on the last roughly about 13 minutes, lucky 13, of the show for tonight. what information do you feel would be most important for those listening and those participating in the chat to really walk away from this discussion tonight?
Okay. It's a slight departure from the details of Satanism as it manifests, but I suggest that the most important element of this enterprise, the satanic movement, and as it extends back, I suggest, in religious witchcraft and prior to that in times when people rebelled against overarching, terrible propagandists, is to be critical of thought. That is, to require that you see what it is that people are asserting. Have an experience yourself about what it is that these scare stories and these subversion ideologies portray. You'll see them in media, in films, in horror movies. You'll see them portrayed as real things that engulf people's lives. And it's not so far-fetched how far they're taken in the pursuit of decimating their enemies. And I wanted to emphasize that because that is in part why I have engaged and associated myself with the demonized. That is, people who are demonized, who are around me, and those who have been terribly oppressed and terribly impacted by things like pogroms and actual genocide. Instead of just taking someone's word for it that something like that is occurring, or taking the line of a political or religious diatribe without checking it out yourself, get a wider view of what those things really include and check them for their facts. Ground yourself well in critical thinking, in philosophy if you can. I know that's a little bit of a stretch for many people, something I hold very dear. But that's the primary takeaway I would suggest. After that, it's simply a play on opposing propagandists and making something valuable from it.
You know, that is one thing that, you know, you kind of hit a very large nail on the head, is that a lot of people do struggle with, you know, being able to dive into the world of philosophy and, you know, the different tenets and directions that study can take you into. The critical thinking in and of itself, I mean, it's not even something that's embedded in education anymore in many parts of the world, mostly in, especially in the United States. You know, to be able to develop these tools to really be able to ascertain what it is that we're looking at. You know, we've talked about this evening that, you know, the programming by, you know, mass media and things of that nature, and, you know, certain other religions and such, that having that critical thinking component and really being able to step back and kind of pulling back that veil is paramount.
I agree. I found some very valuable YouTube channels which encourage that kind of thinking. And what I suggest is that what philosophy really begins with as an activity is questioning. That is, questions are far more important than ideologies. Coming to an insightful question about something and the skill in doing that, no matter what the subject matter, is something you can develop. And all you have to do, you can start by beginning to question the things that you are being told or that you learned, and ask what it is. How do you know that thing? What is it that informs your assertion or assumption that that thing is accurate? And move on. Talk about things that are part of philosophy, not only just beliefs, but values and aesthetics, knowledge.
Right.
All of these things are part of the terrain of philosophy, which is really helpful to get a very strong sense of grounding in the world.
And, you know, to bounce philosophy off of, you know, an exploration into the psychosociological aspects as well. I mean, it's, folks, you're just going to arm yourself with some of the most powerful tools that will ever come across your desks and will serve you very well throughout the entirety of your life.
Absolutely. You know, agreed.
I did hear, and I thought this, I wanted to share this with you, you know, very early on in my spiritual explorations, someone shared with me that one of the main reasons why, and, you know, no pun intended, that Satanism is so demonized is because Satan represents knowledge. And people having clear, concise, and honest knowledge is something that the machine puts down. So that's one of the main reasons why, you know, the religion of Satanism is, and the philosophy of Satanism is, beaten down. And
I think that there's a lot to that. The whole notion of Anabaptists, for example, or Baptists who have their own relationship with God, or even the idea that you can develop your own scripture is extensively controversial. And if you think of how it is that people come to knowledge and what it is that they accept as knowledge, then it's important to see where that's coming from and how it develops. There's a backdrop of castigation, for example, against Gnostics. And there's a Gnostic interpretation in many instances of biblical scripture, like the walking, talking snake in the Garden of Eden, considered to be a Gnostic character because it helps Adam and Eve, our parents, to arrive at knowledge. And that knowledge is characterized in a couple of three different ways. But it's important to see that for some people, like Gnostics, they see that as a transitional symbolic element that represents persons in the religion and they're coming to awareness of something outside of the line of religious ideology that's being taught to them.
Yeah, the discussion that I had that actually brought this that topic up at that time was I was actually discussing this with a theologian, and the image of the serpent in the garden was the main archetype that she presented as evidence of how, you know, the powers that be were trying to keep people small and keep people from gaining that knowledge.
I think Satanists focus on that too. There is a strong contingent, for example, who associate Satan with questioning things and with challenging things and with Promethean enterprises, those that have engaged a process whereby they can foresee the future or become aware of what it is that will take place.
Tonight has truly been an enlightening, a fascinating, and I think a much needed discussion to have. in kind of casting off so many of the misconceptions and misperceptions that do surround Satanism as a religion, as a practice. Thank you.
Well, that's part of my aim. Part of my aim is to get this notion and this particular version of what Satanism is out into the world. And so your having me on gives me an opportunity to present that in a way that I've only done through publishing or through promotions in social media, things of that kind.
You know, we did share a link in the chat to Trollte's book about the Gospel of Satan. Folks, if you haven't, it's definitely worth checking out. And Troll, if you have a list of books and such that you would recommend, definitely share them with me, and I will be more than happy to put them out on the Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places social media, to keep this discussion going, to keep the spotlight on, you know, positive development and positive growth. That's, you had said that early on, and I thought to myself, you know, those are the positive self-growth and such is not something that most would attribute to Satanism as it stands. And
yeah, there's really a reason for that. There's centuries of promotion against that notion.
Right. And really, I think in no small part did tonight that, you know, we kind of, if nothing else, I'd like to think that we made at least a little dent in these notions that, you know, the Satanists are going to get you. And, you know, and hopefully making sure that the Satanic Panic and all other similar events are really a thing of the past, and maybe we will learn from history for once.
It's a hopeful statement. Until then,
wow.
We can do what we can and see fit to promote the understanding that we have arrived at.
This is true. And I, for one, would like, you know, I truly thank you for bringing this to us tonight. And I do hope you come back and join us again, and we can dive into even more on
that
Satanism.
Sounds great.
And there's our music.
Perfect.
Well, that is all the time that we have for tonight, everyone. I hope you've enjoyed your time with us this evening. And until next time we meet, let's keep that magic alive. Take us out, Reverend James.
Shalom aleichem.
Thank you, Reverend Art. And thank you, Troll Talhead of SatanService.org in California, for joining us this week. We invite you to join us next week when we'll be welcoming another fine guest. We've come to the end of this episode of Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, on the LMC Radio Network. You can find Reverend Art at folkconjure.com and at folkconjure on Facebook and Instagram, on the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com, on readersandrootworkers.org, and on Hoodoo Psychics. I'm your announcer, Reverend James, joining you from folkconjure.com in North Carolina. Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. And the shows are available in archive via mysticsmages.com/radio show and on the Lucky Mojo Forum. For all of us at Mystics and Mages, I'd like to thank you for being here. Be sure to follow at Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places on Facebook and at Mystics, Mages, Magical Places on Instagram for updates and news. We'll be back next week at the same time. Come sit a spell. Wink, wink. Relax and enjoy the show. We've only just begun. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Yeah, what a wonderful discussion tonight. Thank you, everybody in the chat. Your questions were phenomenal. Thank you so much for all of the suggestions for future topics as well. You know, so many things just grew from tonight. And I really and truly hope moving forward that everyone takes this conversation and carries it forward and really takes the time to study the philosophy and that critical thinking. Until next week, blessings, everyone. Good night.